Welcome to Ratchet & Wrench Radio, an Endeavor Business Media podcast, bringing you strategies and inspiration for auto care success, featuring the voices of shop owners, thought leaders, and influencers from around the auto care industry. My guest today is Jay Woodall, General Manager, National Accounts Retail, branded for Interstate, and AACF board member. In case you don't know the acronym, AACF stands for the Automotive Aftermarket Charitable Foundation, to which Jay sits on the board. AACF has been in and out of the pages of Ratchet & Wrench's news feed for the better part of the last 6 to 8 months. And if you recall the 2023 Ratchet & Wrench Management Conference, Joel Ayers, the executive director, spoke at the conference. Jay is going to come on and talk about his role in the AACF, how the AACF has helped members of the Interstate team when they've had dire needs. And he'll talk about how the organization works, who qualifies for aid, how to get aid, how quickly aid arrives, and the benefit of helping those in need. You'll hear that more after this message. Psst, hey you. Yeah, you. Can I tell you how fired up I am about the 2024 Ratchet & Wrench Management Conference happening September 12th through the 14th at the Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld in Orlando, Florida? That's right. Our theme this year? Powering your shop, fueling the fun. When you register at rwconference.com, you'll join industry leaders for an exclusive business building conference for auto repair shop owners, operators, and managers. This year, it's a new location, it's a new format, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We've got over 30 strategy sessions, we've got roundtables, we've got keynotes. And best of all, we've got lots of valuable networking to put you in proximity of some of the industry's leading operators so you can soak in their knowledge. RWconference.com to register, and I'll see you in Orlando. And now, on to our guest. Well, hello, Jay. Welcome to Ratchet & Wrench Radio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, pleasure to have you joining me today. So tell us about yourself and your role with Interstate Batteries.
Okay. I've been with Interstate for about 7.5 years. Came in through their recycling division. Most people don't know that most batteries are recycled. It's a very green industry. So we recycle about 98 to 99% of all the batteries that we take in, or we actually take in more than we sell. So that's a good thing. And then I transitioned over to my current role, which is the general manager of a national account retail and roadside team. So obviously Interstate Battery sells aftermarket batteries, so we're well entrenched in the aftermarket industry. So my role in that particular case is what I do is I actually manage a team of folks that handle both retail as well as national installer or roadside. So my portfolio includes everything from high-end warehouse type retailers all the way to roadside vehicle rescue, if you will. I don't want to say any names, but you can think of some of the major nameplates out there, including what we call national installers, those who have national chains that repair vehicles.
Okay, very good. Now, you're involved with the Automotive Aftermarket Charitable Foundation, which is a nonprofit that helps people in the aftermarket and their families when disaster strikes. Tell us about your role in that organization and more about the work they do in the automotive aftermarket.
No, thank you. So Interstate Batteries has had a fairly long history of involvement with the AACF, the Automobile Aftermarket Charitable Foundation. I just joined the board last August. One of my team members actually stepped down as a board. They were moving on to some other duties, and the opportunity came up, and I jumped at it. Really, because when you look at Interstate Batteries, it's a network of distributors, and what I found is that we had all these workers that are in the aftermarket industry, but they didn't know about the great work that the Automobile Aftermarket Charitable Foundation does. And so I took it as an opportunity to get involved. The work that the AACF does is phenomenal. If you look at those workers that they target, These aren't folks that aren't making, you know, six or seven figures a year, right? These are the folks that are actually the backbone of the industry, right? They keep everything moving. They do the repairs. They work in the distribution industries or the distribution side of the industry. And so it was really important for me to say, hey, how do we step in? And a lot, when these folks have significant crises in their families or as individuals, how do we support them? And that they're in that demographic that can actually fall through the cracks when it comes to getting assistance from government agencies and other even NGOs. So I felt like it was a good opportunity. And so I joined and dove right in. And I think my first activity is work at the annual golf outing fundraiser, which takes place at Apex every year.
Oh, you got a chance to join the fun, huh?
No, it would work. it was fun because we were able to step up. We were able to get Interstate Batteries to donate a 4x4 for one of the holes in one. So that was fun. I was able to get that put in place, and you know, maybe next year we'll do a Ferrari or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, golf tournaments, you know, for a lot of nonprofits are a major source of revenue because, you know, it combines, you know, pleasure and fun with giving. So yeah, I can see where, you know, you'll enjoy that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Great turnout. People have a lot of fun. It's a top flight event. So, and hopefully if any of your listeners are around and next year they have the opportunity to participate, we'll take all comers. It's a great fundraiser and really worthy cause.
So you joined the board in August. What inspired you to want to join the board?
Again, it was really seeing a gap in those who need the assistance and knowing about the work that the AACF does. And I felt with my background in marketing and sales, I could help bridge the gap, starting with, in, you know, my own family, which is Interstate Batteries, right? Start there. We have over 1,300 employees that are probably eligible, maybe even more than that. And they didn't know about it. So I started with those owners. A lot of we have a mix of distributors who are corporate owned and some are, the majority are independently owned. And those independent owners didn't know that the assistant was available. The beautiful thing is that Interstate has a really family oriented environment. And so we do a good job of taking care of our own, but knowing that this additional support is out there has really been an eye opener to some of the distributors, and it's really opened some doors. So it's starting to latch on. We're going to do some more promotional internally. Then whatever learnings we take there, we can apply outside to other corporations.
Okay. Now we've covered a few stories related to AACF over the course of the last year. And you know, is there a story that comes to mind for you that you were personally impacted by, or something that really stood out to you that really showed the heart of the organization at work?
Yeah, a couple instances. One was really recent, but the one that took place, I think, late last year was we had a team member in the Sacramento area who was taking care of his mother and his grandmother, and they lived in a dwelling that was totally gutted by fire. And the owner, the distributor, didn't know that ACF was out there. So I talked to them, got them engaged, linked them up with ACF. And within 72 hours, ACF was able to provide assistance to that gentleman. And he said it was just a game changer for he and his family. It allowed them to get some personal items, start up, you know, just some things put in place, clothing. I mean, just basic things you wouldn't think about that are totally lost in this fire. And he just showed me some pictures of it. It was just amazing. It was an absolute gut job. If you imagine looking at a structure and everything's just charred and black. It was pretty amazing. But Joel Ayers, who's the chair of the AACF, actually I contacted him and said, hey, we got this need. He walked me through what we would need to do to get this team member up and running and apply, get his application in. And again, I think we turned it in on a Friday, and by Monday, they were ready to cut a check to this gentleman. And he was very emotional about receiving the funds. It was very timely, and it was before he could get any other assistance from any other areas.
That's really rapid.
It is. It is. It's a flat organization, and they've streamlined the process to evaluate, look at the applications, and render a decision. And I think that's really key where, you know, look at governments, there's a lot of red tape and there's agencies that got multiple layers you have to go through and you have to meet certain criteria, and the criteria can often be very stringent. In the case of AACF, they look at the need, they evaluate the case, and they move quickly.
So walk me through that. Let's say I'm a shop owner. You know, I've got someone on my staff who's dealing with maybe a tragedy, something in their family where they need some advanced assistance beyond what maybe I could, what I can do, and maybe some local organizations can do. What does that application process look like for someone who wants to approach the AACF?
It's really as simple as going to the AACF site and say there's a link, I believe, that says needs help. And you can actually click on that link, fill out the application. It's processed electronically. In the case with the interstate family, if you will, I try to walk alongside through that process. I tee it up. I'll let the folks at AACF, hey, no, this is coming. Here's the situation. So I try to walk it through. But if the average person off the street, if you will, who is eligible for it, can just go to that link and quickly apply. It's very simple. It's not a very intrusive form. It gets the basic information, and then the AACF moves from there.
Wow. And so are there any other stories that you've seen, you know, that really stand out to you, that the AACF has really shown itself to the aftermarket community?
Yeah, the most recent one was we had a distributor down in the Houston, Texas area, who tragically, this just took place, I think, about 6 weeks ago, lost a 29-year-old, one of our distribution drivers, in a tragic automobile accident. He had a couple of small children who were under the age of 10. He was a primary wage earner for that whole household. And so we were able to link him with the distributor with AACF. And I think we got the application in on a Thursday or Friday again. And by Tuesday, the following week, the family was able to receive a check. They had no idea it was coming. Again, very emotional response. They couldn't believe that someone would step up and help them in this time of need. They were looking at how are they going to pay bills. Our distributor helped pay for the funeral. And so this was just additional funding that could help them just not have to worry about a few things in the short term, at least. And that was really probably one of the most moving instances.
So, like for a shop owner, like, you know, who is witnessing something like that, like, you know, a situation within their shop where they've got a person who's downtrodden, but maybe they don't want to reach out, or maybe they're concerned about, you know, reaching out for help. Would they be able to do so on behalf of one of their people and say, look, you know, I'm a shop owner, you know, I've got a technician who's down and out, they need some help. They're concerned about people knowing their business or coming out and sharing their hardship. Can you help them?
That's an excellent question. That's really what took place in this latest instance. I spoke with the distributor owner, and he, you know, the obviously the family was overwrought with grief, and I said, we can do this on their behalf. You don't have to have their permission. Now, he had to get some basic information. He was able to find out names, and because obviously there has to be a person that the check is cut to. In this case, I think the funds went to the gentleman's mother, who was walking alongside the wife and the kids in this case. But no, you're exactly right. It can be done on behalf of someone, as long as some of the fundamental information is known, and most employers or shop owners know that basic information. They've got it in a personnel file, or they've got it somewhere else where they have access to folks who can give them that information.
Okay. Something you've reiterated a couple of times is that a lot of people still aren't really aware that the AACF is out there and available to help them. Can you talk about, you know, what we can do to help spread more awareness about the AACF and get more people involved?
Yeah, one of the things that we're looking at doing as a foundation is how do we get a deeper to the grassroots levels, and that's really been one of the challenges of AACF. We've got a lot of executives and middle managers who are part of the AACF or familiar with the AACF or participate in golf outings, and I think one of the things that we've recognized as a gap for us is how does that shop owner know? How do we get down to the level of let's say you've got a national installer who has 3,000 locations, right? How do you, or an APR, aftermarket parts reseller, sorry, we call them APRs, who actually has 6,000 locations. How do you get those store managers to know? And so we understand we've got some work to do there. I'm not sure we have all the answers yet, but we're looking at various campaigns to get that word out. And some of it will be like at events like APEC, SEMA, and some of the other big opportunities we have to get in front of those audiences at conferences and at trade shows. That's one way. One way we're attempting to do it is to get in front of the HR managers at various corporations. That has had some success, but really getting the word out at the grassroots level and hitting that audience is an opportunity for us, and we recognize that. I wish I'd told you we had all the answers today, but we're brainstorming and coming up with ways to do it. For me, we have an internal communications team, and that may be another opportunity once we model it inside of Interstate Batteries. So these two opportunities I just talked to you about, this podcast will create a great opportunity for us to take portions of it if you allow us to, and use that with our own communications team. And we can distribute that internally through channels that we normally use to communicate with our distributors and our team members.
Yeah. Seems like there's an ample opportunity for shop owners who are developing, you know, handbooks or guides for their onboarding, for onboarding new team members, to, you know, put that information within those handbooks as well. You know, that, hey, there's a resource here that you need if you're ever, you know, finding yourself in a tight spot or a troubling position that you can turn to.
No, you're exactly right. One of the things we're looking at, if you think about most break rooms, they've got up the OSHA information, they've got up some other information. And one of the things we're looking at doing is getting out posters that can be hung in break rooms so that the team members that need this assistance know where to go. And it becomes top of mind, and they think about it when they're in those situations.
Okay. Outside of the golf tournament, though, how can people get involved in helping raise funds for AACF?
Usually there is something on the AACF website. So if you go there, you know, as we start getting closer to the golf outing, there'll be some promotional information out there. We use a lot of word of mouth through the board members. We have a lot of connections in the industry, so we invite folks to participate. One of the things we do, a lot of recruiting for the golf outing. It's full. I mean, we are on full 3 18 hole golf courses and all the spots we've taken. So that's great. Now, you know, nirvana would be to get to the place where we have to have a coordinated outing that's across multiple golf courses. Maybe that's our next step. You know, we've outgrown the one, and let's have it. I've been to events like that where they take over multiple country clubs on a single day and have shotgun starts across all of them at the same time. So maybe we get there. We're also looking at how do we expand to maybe some other events outside of just golf. We've got some things on the table. So our fundraising committee, which I'm also part of, is looking at. And so we're excited about those opportunities as well. I'm a firm believer that there's no such thing as a failed experiment. You're going to learn something. So we'll throw some mud at the wall, see what works, and whatever works, we'll enhance it and continue to grow it.
Awesome. And so, you know, why would you say that AACF is a really worthwhile endeavor for shop owners and their teams to really get behind?
If you really think about people that are in the midst of a crisis, first of all, quite often they don't know where to go. You know, where to start. And usually there's some immediate needs that need to be take place, whether it's clothing, food, shelter, and rent. AACF has helped folks that have been affected by hurricanes, where their apartments or their dwellings have been damaged, where they're uninhabitable, and they don't have a first and last month's rent or deposit to put down on the next place. And so AACF can step in and help them with that. And so when you look at just the absolute need that's out there, there's so many opportunities. And when you look at just, there are over 100,000 employees estimated to be in the automobile aftermarket segment of the industry. And so those who are eligible for AACF assistance, that's huge. We're barely scratching the surface, right? So we had maybe less than 20 applicants last year. So we've got work to do to get the awareness out there. And so we'd really like to expand that base. And so shop owners need to understand, shop owners may want to help their employees. They may not be in a financial position to help them the way they would like to. And so the AACF can fill that gap. They want to help and point them in the right direction of services. Yeah, you can go to the Red Cross. You can go to FEMA, possibly, depending on the circumstance. But those agencies sometimes take time, or they only do but so much. And so whatever they're already getting, the AACF doesn't look at that and say, well, no, you're not eligible. They will step in and help regardless of any other assistance. So that's another strong plus for dealing with the ACF.
And are there any stipulations for the giving? Like, you know, are there any, you know, I guess, baseline requirements that you have to have in order to be given assistance?
To my knowledge, the primary baseline is to really is to be able to demonstrate the need, right? We're not, it's not as though there is a minimum income level that I know of or anything like that. Now, there may be a cap on the high side. You know, if you are a high wage earner, you're probably not going to be eligible, because it really is targeting those folks who are doing the work that are out at probably, you know, earning an hourly wage. Right. And so that's really where we're targeted and where our emphasis is. But really, it's to demonstrate the need. I know with the gentleman who had the lost his dwelling to a fire, we provided pictures and it told a story. We could even provide a link because it made the local news. So we were able to, hey, look, watch this news story. That's our guy. You know, so that, those sort of things are obviously helpful. But a lot of it is based upon, you know, on trust and understanding. And usually they're multiple people with people who are stepping forward saying, hey, this person needs help. It's not just the individual, it's also the shop owner and maybe some other employees that say, yeah, I'm trying to help this guy out, but he or she's really struggling right now.
All right. So what's the next step? Like if I hear this podcast, I'm a shop owner, I want to get involved, what should I do next?
I would say, first thing to do is just, you know, Google Automotive Aftermarket Charitable Foundation. You can find the link to the website just simply by Googling it. And then from there, scroll through the website. It talks very succinctly and articulately about the work that's been done, but also how to get help for someone. And then you can also just, there's a contact sheet inside. If you say, hey, I want more information, you can request it. We can send posters out, flyers, so you can hang up in your shop. There are any number of things you can do, but I think that's the first start. Go to the website, ask for information, get involved, and then spread the word.
Awesome. Jay, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate talking to you about the AACF and the work that you guys are doing there. It's phenomenal work. I love when I get the press releases across my desk and hear about the work you guys are doing in the automotive aftermarket. So keep up the good work, and thank you for joining me today. And that's going to do it for us here today at Ratchet & Wrench Radio. I'd like to invite you to follow us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as subscribe to our email newsletter, which goes out daily. And you can find that at ratchetandwrench.com. And that's ratchetandwrench.com. And may the rest of your day be the best of your day. And we'll see you next week.